Welcome to True Crime Garage. Wherever you are, whatever you're doing, thanks for listening. I'm your host, Nick, and with me, as always, is a man that really wants to make you a mixtape. Here is the Captain.
Yeah, and I'll only put Asleep by the Smiths a few times on the mixtape. It's good to be seen and good to see you. Thanks for listening. Thanks for telling a friend.
Today we are featuring High Heat Summer IPA by the good folks over at the Virginia Beer Company. This is a double dry hopped IPA with an explosion of guava, coconut, and mango flavors. ABV 5.5%, garage grade, 3 3/4 bottle caps out of 5. And here's some friends that helped us fill up the old fridge for this week. First up, a big cheers to our friend John H. in Mississippi.
And a big we like your jib to Lindsay in Fargo, North Dakota.
And last but certainly not least, we have Sonia in Parts Unknown. Everyone we just mentioned, they went to truecrimegarage.com and they clicked on the donate button. If you would like to get a shout out, if you want to help us out with next week's show, you do the same. Go to truecrimegarage.com, click on the donate button, and make sure you leave your wonderful city that you're from in the notes so we can shout you out. All right, Captain, that's enough of the business.
Yeah, if you don't leave your location, we don't know how to shout you out. But thanks for the support. Thanks for listening. Grab a chair, grab a beer. Let's talk some true crime.
Emma Compton Lane first was missing, and then things got worse. Emma has a couple of sisters, two that from my understanding don't get along very well, but yet they are fighting for Emma, seeking justice for their sister that passed away too soon at the hands of a very bad man. A man that picks on and threatens women because he is weak, insecure, and cowardly. But because Emma's sisters Winona and Shauna don't speak, they're fighting the same battle, but separately. I don't know that True Crime Garage covering Emma's case will actually get justice for Emma. But I know our coverage today can't hurt her case. You see, Emma's case is very solvable, but because Emma lived in a tiny town, her case lacks awareness. Well, that ends today. Something else that I wish would end today is this bad blood between Emma's sisters. Now, I would think after losing your sister and one of your best friends, you each would need a sister to help you with your hurt, to help you with your battle and your fight for justice for Emma. You need a sister, and you both still have one. So pick up a phone and say something nice. No one has to say that they are sorry. Just say, "I miss Emma, and I want to fight for our sister together, because nothing else matters." Because as it stands now, you've both lost two sisters, and all you have gained is heartache and a Facebook page. The Justice for Emma Compton Lane Facebook page. But you both have the power to change that. The following is from that Facebook page, Justice for Emma Compton Lane, which I encourage our listeners to go to. Show your support by visiting the page to let the sisters know that people care. Now, this is a post from one of Emma's sisters, and it reads, 5 years ago on Tuesday, June 20th, we filed a missing persons report for Emma. We know now that she was murdered after midnight on the 18th, but I've wondered if we had filed on Monday, would Halifax County Sheriff's Department have taken us more seriously? Would they have worked Emma's case harder? 5 long, sad years, and we still are waiting for justice for Emma. We are still waiting for an arrest, a trial, for the person who murdered her to be held accountable. No one except the person who killed her knew she was missing until that Monday the 19th. That person had the time to remove evidence and clean up the crime scene. I also believe that person had help covering the crime. Over this 5 years, we have been told by Halifax County Sheriff's Department and Commonwealth Attorney Martin, her case is a priority. At first, I believed them with their assurances, but after 5 years, I have to wonder just how truthful they've been. When something is a priority, things get done, things happen, and results are seen. I pray that next year, I will have a reason to believe that they really have been working Emma's case, and that we will see justice for Emma before another year passes. Thank you to those who remember and love Emma. Thank you for your continued support. Still waiting for and seeking justice for Emma. I love and miss you every day, Emma Jean. This is True Crime Garage. Emma Jean Compton Lane loved hummingbirds, Christmas, and more importantly, helping other people. She was 52 years old when she went missing. Emma was married to a man named Russell Lane. Russell was a truck driver and may still be. Emma was a store owner. Cody is a small community. This is where they lived. It's a small community in Halifax County, Virginia. It's one of those small unincorporated towns, kind of a tiny dot on the map. Emma owned the Cody store. Listen to this, Captain. To give a better idea of what kind of store we are talking about, this is from one of the old signs on the Cody store, and it reads, "Full service deli, open 6 a.m. to 7 p.m., pizza, grocery, beer, ice, dog food, hunting and fishing supplies, slab bacon and fat back meat. Store hours 6 a.m. to 9 p.m. Monday through Saturday. Closed on Sunday, accepting all major credit cards." Sounds like my kind of store. Has about everything that one could think of.
I couldn't imagine needing anything else.
And I know you are like me, Captain. When given the option, we prefer a mom and pop type operation, and that's very much what this was. I'm assuming that there was a larger grocery store in this tiny town that people could go and spend their hard-earned money at, but a lot of people preferred to go to the Cody store because of the friendly service. You know, you're getting that kind of personal service when you walk in and somebody goes, "Hi, Captain," or "Good to see you, Colonel. How about some slab bacon or fat back meat?"
And you say, go, "It's good to be seen."
It's good to be seen.
Yep, I like my grocery stores like I like my podcasts. Homegrown, independently owned, no network.
The troubling thing about this case, well, there's many troubling things, but the first that stands out is that often on the materials that we see that talk about Emma going missing, they will say that she was last seen at the Cody store, which is not really true. But it goes along with the story or some people's narrative of this story. So keep in mind, the store is very important to our timeline, and it's also very important to this case because I think that it also includes and gives us a good idea of Emma's personality. Can't you kind of picture her? 52 years old, owner-operated store, very friendly person, always a smile on her face when you come in the door. But the store itself, remember we read the hours of operation there. They're closed on Sunday. The last that she is seen on some of these materials states that it was at the store on Saturday night.
Right.
However, we have some information of locals that say, yes, we saw as we drove by the store, we could still see her vehicle there. Remember, this is the kind of town, the small little town, where everybody kind of knows everybody. And everybody knows what kind of vehicle you drive. And of course, people that frequent the store are going to know Emma. They're going to know what kind of vehicle that she drives. So we have several people who are saying, yes, after the store closed on that Saturday, I saw her vehicle in the parking lot, which is not uncommon, right? You have closing duties. You have to count the till. You have paperwork to do. Everything that you have to do before you officially leave the business for that night.
That's enough of the bees.
Now,
knees.
The troubling thing to me is when I see these materials, my mind instantly makes the leap of, oh no.
I pooped myself.
Somebody must have went to the store, attempted a robbery, or abducted her for any number of reasons.
Right.
And that's what went down. And that's what we're looking for here. However, that's not the case.
Mm-hmm.
Even though the materials read that way, she made it home that night. And so she would have left the store at approximately 9:30, maybe 10 at the latest. But she closed the store. She closed the shop on that Saturday. She went home. The other problem for our timeline, though, becomes the fact that the store is closed on Sunday. Now, this store was, I was about to say that it's her life, but there was other things going on in her life. As we mentioned, she was married to Russell Lane. But also a very important thing that's going on at this time, and a very stressful thing that's going on for Emma at this time, is her mother was recently put in the hospital. And I believe it was only about 2 or 3 days before that Sunday on our timeline. Her mom's having some health problems, health issues. She's in the hospital. So her sister, Winona, and Emma are taking turns visiting mom in the hospital, making sure that she's has somebody to talk with, somebody to visit with her, someone to help her pass the time while she hopefully heals or recovers from whatever issues that she's facing. The first red flag on our timeline goes up Sunday when Emma fails to go to the hospital to visit her mother. All and everyone has agreed this completely out of character for Emma. If she says, I'm visiting mom on Sunday at the hospital, she would be there visiting her mother. And we know that she was supposed to be there on Sunday because of a phone call and some conversation that took place the day before with her sister, Winona.
Well, and we know that she doesn't work on Sundays, so she shouldn't have anything conflicting to stop her from going to see her mother.
And I don't know if both were going every single day to visit mom or if they were rotating days going to visit mom. But we know that she was going to go on Sunday because the conversation with Winona went something like this. Emma is saying, I can't make it there on Saturday to see mom. Mm-hmm. Don't worry, I will be there 100% on Sunday.
Right.
She doesn't show up on Sunday. Well, again, red flags go up. Mom is worried. Sister is worried. They're trying to call Emma. And this is late Sunday by the time they start calling her. Because the way that I think that this works is it's not immediately known to all that Emma didn't show up there, right? It's a conversation that is had between her other sisters and mom. And mom saying, you know, Emma never showed up today. I didn't see her. I know you guys said she was coming, or she said she was coming, but I never saw her today. And so it's not until about Sunday night that the sisters are aware that Emma did not arrive that Sunday. So on Monday, one of her sisters is Shauna, and she lives in another state. So any communication that is going on, any interaction between Shauna, Winona, and their mother, the three that are all very concerned that Emma didn't show up at the hospital, that conversations are happening over the phone. So Shauna convinces the other sister, Winona, you know what? Why don't you go by and check on Emma? I can't get a hold of her on the phone. She didn't go see mom. So on Monday, her sister goes to her home and Russell, her husband, lets her in. And Winona looks at the property and looks inside the home and nothing seems really out of place. But therein lies the real problem.
Right.
She says that everything seems to be there except for Emma. Her car's there. Her purse is there. Her cell phone is there.
Yeah, it just doesn't really add up.
Her dog is there. Everything that you would expect to see, but no Emma. This is when we start to get some kind of weird story. Russell has some explanations as for where Emma is. And he says, oh, I think she ran off with somebody, with some other man. Well, if she did run off, she didn't take anything with her. It's not until Tuesday, the following day, that the family actually report her missing to the authorities.
Well, the authorities in this case are the Halifax County Sheriff's Office.
One concern that the sheriff's office has is they question, why would Emma's family delay reporting her missing? Well, the family does have a good explanation for this. They tell the sheriff, our mom is not in great shape. She's in the hospital. We were worried that us reporting her missing and mom finding out about this, that it might be unnecessary stress for her at her time when she cannot handle anything else.
Right.
And so they delayed this, but mind you, they only delayed it about a day. And I think that they were wanting or hoping, like does happen in so many other situations, that, oh, Emma will come home or she'll pop up. No reason to scare mom while she's in the hospital.
Well, that would make sense to me if people saw her on Saturday and she had nothing to do on Sunday, and then boom, Monday, she doesn't go to work. But because she had this obligation on Sunday that she missed, and then she misses work on Monday, I'm calling Monday.
I think I would too. I can't fault, you know, I'm not going to look back and say, oh, you should have done this, you should have done that. You know that these sisters are second guessing everything that took place within that first 24, 48 hours. But yeah, you're right here, Captain. Cause for deep concern, right? Didn't visit mom on Sunday, but let's compound that with the issue that she doesn't show up to her owner-operated store on Monday. We went over the hours. She should have been there prior to opening at 6 a.m. on Monday.
Right.
And then by the time she's reported missing on Tuesday, she should have arrived at the store prior to 6 a.m. to open the store on Tuesday. Those three things, none of that happened. And in the course of that 48 hours or so, she's not responding to any calls or texts that's coming from anybody that knows her. So you gotta be fearing the worst at this point.
Well, do we have any details of what people were doing to find her?
Yes, there was an effort put together to try to locate Emma. The best description I have reads as follows. The Cody community is abuzz with concern over popular store owner Emma Compton Lane being missing for a number of days now. The owner of Cody Store on Highway 40, which is located on Stagecoach Road, was last seen Saturday around 7 p.m. Again, this is one of those things that kind of troubles me and bothers me. The store is open till 9 p.m. There's no reason to believe that she went missing at this 7 p.m. hour or anytime shortly afterwards.
Right.
Her car didn't drive itself home from the store that night.
Are you sure?
I can't be sure. I mean, maybe she had one of those Knight Rider cars, but my guess, you know, I am a betting man. I would wager $100 bill that it did not drive itself home on that night. And I also have some information in our timeline that indicates that she made it home that night because she had interaction with other people after leaving the store that night. But continuing on this report, Sheriff Fred Clark said a Virginia State Police search team, Virginia Department of Emergency Management search personnel, and a local search and rescue team and EMS have been searching the perimeter of Lane's Cody residence. So again, they're starting their search at her residence and fanning out from there. So they have something telling them, something indicating to them that the residence is the place to start your search, not necessarily the store. A dive team checked two ponds near her residence, but found nothing. Mm-hmm. During the search of her premises, a local search and rescue team member suffered a massive heart attack and was pronounced dead shortly after arrival. Lane is described as a white female, 5 feet tall, and approximately 135 pounds. She has short brown hair, brown eyes, pierced ears, and may wear glasses. The sheriff asks if anyone has any information on the whereabouts of Emma Compton Lane to please contact the Halifax County Sheriff's Office. Now, some of the later reports that I've read, Captain, was that unfortunately this man who's trying to help out, who suffers the heart attack during the search effort, that may have triggered them calling off the search a little prematurely. Obviously, they didn't find Emma during the course of their search, but we should also note that there was what appears to be, based off of this report, a good effort put forth to try to locate her in what would have been a rather well-managed search, right? They made the determination to start off at her residence and work their way out from there. We know that they're searching some of the water in the area. They're not finding Emma. They're also not finding any clues as to where she may be. Now, at this time, you have several stories that are coming out from people that know Emma.
The old rumor mill.
Or know her husband, Russell. And keep in mind, I say that, but this is a small town. You can make the assumption that whoever knows Russell knows Emma. The stories start to pop up that there's a couple of different theories here. One, that she left with some man that she was having an affair with and was in a hotel in Danville. Well, that's pretty easy to figure out if that's true or not. You go to the hotel in Danville, and if you don't find them, you can figure one of two things. Either the two of them moved on to another location, or this is not a plausible theory.
Yeah, and you don't even have to go knocking door to door. You just stand out front and start yelling, "Show yourself! Show yourself, you cowards!"
There were some other theories that are somewhat similar, but one that she had gone to New York and one that she had gone to the state of Florida.
And possibly for an affair she was having.
Possibly. Mm-hmm. There was also a theory that she was some type of drug dealer and that drugs were involved either in her disappearance or were the reason for her to leave willingly.
Was she selling drugs out of her store?
No, she wasn't selling drugs at all.
It's interesting how sometimes these rumors come out of nothing.
Well, and that's the other thing, too. Keep in mind, the Danville story has her having an affair. Well, the overwhelming majority of people spoken to and asked these questions, they don't believe she's having an affair. They've never seen anything, any indication
right.
that she's having an affair.
But it doesn't seem like a lot of times in these small towns, when these crimes take place, the rumor mill seems to ramp up a lot faster.
Yeah, I think when you have these small towns, a lot, not only a lot faster, but I almost feel like some of the rumors are more of the wild variety.
Yeah, they become a little more redonkulous.
But we've seen crimes and cases that we've looked at here in the garage where often when a case first breaks, that there are some early rumors going on. And sometimes, even if it takes years to solve them, you find out that one of these early rumors, well, it must have been based off of a lot of truth or fact, because in the end, when they get the result, when they get justice for the victim, they find that a lot of the information in one particular rumor turned out to be true. Now, here in this case, I think that all of these rumors are completely false, 100% false. But I also think that these rumors are what will help you ultimately solve this case.
Just hold on. Help me. Help me. Help me. Just.
Today's show is sponsored by Care Of. Care Of is a subscription service that ships high-quality, personalized vitamins, supplements, and powders conveniently to your door every month. You start with a short, in-depth quiz about your lifestyle and health goals for personalized recommendations, taking the guesswork out of what supplements are best suited for you. Everything is shipped right to your door, along with a customized booklet showing you exactly what is in your individual daily packs and why it was recommended for you and your health goals. I love Care Of. It's so convenient. I love the individual packs. It makes traveling super easy. I just grab a few, one for each day that I'm gone, and my vitamin routine is set even when I'm away. And with my vitamin pack, I'm feeling way more energy and I'm feeling way more focused. And the quiz, it's super easy, super informative, and I enjoyed taking it. For 50% off your first Care Of order, go to careof.com and enter code GARAGE50. That's code GARAGE50 at takecareof.com for 50% off your first Care Of order. So go right now to takecareof.com and enter promo code GARAGE50.
It was almost the perfect crime. Everyone was distracted, their attention elsewhere. Stacks of cold hard cash sitting on the table unguarded. Who wouldn't be tempted to slowly reach their hand out and steal a pile of Monopoly money from the banker? Monopoly is one of those games that can bring out everyone's most devious selves. And Monopoly Go takes that gleeful mischievousness to your phone in a wildly popular twist on the classic game that you can play throughout your day, anywhere, anytime. Collect rent from friends on iconic properties. Bankrupt them by pulling a heist on their vault. And Monopoly Go has timed tournaments where you can team up with friends to unlock big prizes and try to top the leaderboards. Whether you're helping out your friends or going head-to-head for riches, Monopoly Go is an absolute blast. Download it now free on the App Store or Google Play. The best part of spring cleaning takeaway is the post-clean clarity you get. It's kind of like when you find out that you've been paying a fortune for wireless. When Mint Mobile has phone plans for $15 a month when you purchase a 3-month plan. It's time to switch to Mint Mobile. All plans come with high-speed data and unlimited talk and text delivered on the nation's largest 5G network. Use your own phone with any Mint Mobile plan and bring your phone number along with all of your existing contacts. Ditch overpriced wireless with Mint Mobile's limited time deal and get 3 months of premium wireless service for $15 a month. Save a lot of money with Mint Mobile. Get their great mobile wireless service delivered on the nation's largest 5G network. That's premium service at a great price. To get this new customer offer and your new 3-month unlimited wireless plan for just $15 a month, go to mintmobile.com/TCG. That's mintmobile.com/TCG. Cut your wireless bill to $15 a month at mintmobile.com/TCG. $45 upfront payment required, equivalent to $15 a month. New customers on first 3-month plan only. Speed slower above 40 gigabytes on unlimited plan. Additional taxes, fees, and restrictions apply. See Mint Mobile for details.
All right, we are back. Trying to sift through the rumors. Cheers, mates.
Cheers, Captain. Now, in this case, we have a woman who is missing. And as said, there are some rumors that are being bandied about that maybe she is taken off and left on her own. Here's a follow-up report on Emma's status of still missing. And this says that on Saturday, June 17th, Emma closed her store, as she did every Saturday, and finished with closing duties, and she left for the day. So now, keep in mind, this report is coming out quite a bit later from the previous one. We've already noticed a shift in the narrative, right? That they have figured out She finished her closing duties. She left the store for the day. The store is always closed on Sunday, so Emma told her family she'd spend that Sunday with her mom, Sylvia, in the hospital. Emma had admitted her mom just 2 days earlier, but Emma never showed up to the hospital. The next morning, Monday, Sylvia, her mother, called her sister Shauna to see where Emma was. Shauna lives in Mississippi, wasn't able to get a hold of Emma either, so she sent their other sister, Winona, to Emma's house, since Winona lived nearby. Quote, everything was there. Emma's credit card, clothes, car keys, cell phone, her dog, everything was in the basement except Emma. Shauna said the family knew something was wrong. The next morning, Winona called the police. When I first got the call on Tuesday, June 20th, around 10 or 11 a.m., investigator Burton of the Halifax County Sheriff's Office said some of the family had been looking for her prior to the call. We keep going back and forth with why they waited so long to call us. The family told police they waited until Tuesday to call because they didn't want to panic their mom, who was in the hospital at the time, unless it was absolutely necessary. And then we have the sheriff's office that goes on to say, I got in contact with Emma's husband, Russell Lane, who gave us permission to go into the house and look for whatever we needed. Investigator Burton said Emma's husband has cooperated with police since the beginning of the investigation. So a little bit more information coming out later as to the timeline itself, and pointing out that police were suspicious for the delay in reporting the family member as missing. And now we have the statement from the detective saying, well, the husband said, yeah, go ahead and search the property, search my home. You can look for whatever you need to help your investigation.
Which doesn't always mean anything, because we've seen that in the past where the husband says, come on in, take a look around. And we know that son of a bitch is guilty. So, but it does let us know where they're at in the investigation. And then you have to, again, like you were saying, start from the inner circle and start moving your way out.
Well, there's a little bit of information in there that I think we need to dissect and put it right under the microscope.
Let me grab my lab coat.
Listen to this statement from the sister who searched the home or went to the home shortly after Emma was missing. Everything was there. Emma's credit card, clothes, car keys, cell phone, her dog. Everything was in the basement except Emma.
Strange.
Everything was in the basement except Emma. So I was curious about that statement. That to me makes me want to know, why would you expect to find Emma in the basement? And I was able to track down a few people that are very close to this case, and they told me the following information: that her and Russell had not been getting along for quite some time. In fact, there was reason to believe that Russell may have been aggressive or even violent toward his wife in the past.
Douche.
Now, the information that I have here, Captain, is not exact. So we need to point that out to be perfectly clear to everybody out there in listener land. The information that I have found was saying that Emma was living in the basement of the home, and Russell was living in the ground level or the upstairs of the home. And this arrangement had been going on for quite some time. Some sources say as long as 3 years, and some say as little as 2 years. But regardless of that information, whether it's 2 years or 3 years, that's a long time for husband and wife to be basically living almost like roommates, separate lives in the same dwelling.
Well, so then the rumors of her having possibly an affair is not really out of the question.
Not out of the question, but let's examine this a little bit further. So the basement itself was actually set up to be like a living quarters, almost so that once she was home and once she's in the basement, there's little, if no need at all, to go upstairs.
Right.
To have any interaction with her husband. let's back up the bus a little bit more, where, yeah, you can look at this and go, okay, well, maybe these affair rumors have some truth to them. But let's also examine the idea that there is information out there that her husband has been violent towards her in the past. Now, where are these rumors of being a drug dealer and the affair and all of that coming from?
Well, she put out a mixtape, and she was rapping about her drug dealings.
There is nothing that I have found to make me believe that either of these rumors have any validity at all, that have any truth to them at all. So the thing here is, we have to start really wondering where these rumors are coming from. And based off of these rumors, think about the other thing that's a big part of those stories, right? The story is that she left town with another man, or she left town because of some misdealings that she was doing. That's all going to become a very big problem for everybody 5 months later.
Yeah, so what you're saying is we have these rumors that she's a drug dealer and she left town with a bunch of money or to go sell drugs somewhere else, expand
her. Or that drugs was the cause of her leaving town. It doesn't necessarily have to mean that she's dealing drugs. That's just one of several rumors that were going on. One was that she left town because of drugs.
Right, and then there's other rumors that she left town to go live with somebody, or she left town with somebody. Which, if somebody else locally left town at the same time, wouldn't we know who that person was?
Or it could have been a man from out of town. Again, these are rumors. These aren't things that we have direct statements from these local people that are giving us detailed statements, right? I'm sure they gave detailed statements to the authorities, but we, the public, don't have access to that information.
Right, but the problem becomes, this whole idea of her leaving town is that her body is found in the county.
Yeah, so here's the report we have here, Captain. Authorities are awaiting the identification of human remains found in a wooded Cody area. Keep in mind, Cody's a pretty small town. Remains found in a wooded Cody area after a hunting party came across the find Wednesday, November 22nd, 2017, around 1:30 p.m. Halifax County Sheriff Fred Clark said foul play is expected in the death, but Clark declined to comment further, including whether there is any indication of how long the body may have been left in the woods. The remains were sent to the state medical examiner's office in Richmond to assist with the identification. On Wednesday, a member of a hunting party came across the remains in a heavily wooded area approximately 700 yards from Sandy Ridge Road at the 4,000 block of the northern Halifax County roadway. The location is a short distance from the Cody store. The discovery comes as police continue to investigate the disappearance of 52-year-old Emma Compton Lane of Cody, who has gone missing since mid-June. She was last seen at the Cody store where she worked on the evening of June 17th. Since that time, police have conducted multiple searches for Lane, including in the vicinity of her home nearby. The searches produced no evidence of her whereabouts. Other missing person cases have gone unsolved in Halifax County, and it goes on to reference some of these other cases. Now, the thing here, Captain, it will take a little bit of time, but ultimately, the body that is recovered is identified as that of Emma Compton Lane.
Right.
The other items that they find, and some of the information that we learn here, is that the ruling from the medical examiner is that the cause of death is homicidal violence with traumatic neck injuries. There was also a sleeping bag that was found. In the way that it's described to me, it sounds like she may have been inside of the sleeping bag. There was also reports that someone had tried to burn the body, or that there was indications that someone had tried to burn the body. The reports also state that she was in a very shallow grave. There's a whole bunch of things here that we need to kind of consider. Russell Lane and Emma Compton Lane, husband and wife, living separately in the same home, they owned some property throughout this Halifax County. The place, the wooded area of Cody, Virginia, that her body is located, is really like a stone's throw away from the property line of one of their other properties.
And that's suspicious.
And I've also seen it reported that the property that she was located on, now this is an area where we're talking like farmland. There's not a bunch of people out there. This is an area where you would put something that you hope and wish will never be found. But the property that she is found on, there are reports out there, belong to one of Emma's husband's friends. Now, again, it's a small town. This could be all coincidence. We're not talking about a whole lot of people. We're talking about a lot of land and not a whole lot of people. So it could be complete coincidence, but
it's still suspicious.
Huge red flags.
Mm-hmm. Well, on top of that, we have a lot of rumors happening, right? And you'd think for 3 years, if it's true that their friends are saying, look, they just really were kind of separated for 3 years, there's going to be a lot of rumors happening between their friends and in the town. Does that make sense?
There are some people in this story that have said they were unaware that they were living separately in the same home.
Right.
Now, it sounds like the people closest to them were well aware of this, like the family and friends, the direct friends that you're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
They were well aware. That's where this information comes from. But it's all a very weird situation, because some of the reports are that Russell almost had Emma in a situation where it appears like she works for him, like runs errands for him. She's not really allowed to go too many places on her own. She's not allowed to have a lot of friends. We know that she works a lot of hours based off of the store hours that we covered at the top of the story. But this, to me, when you have a situation where she goes missing, why do they find all of her things there? You know, people, I do understand it. People do have affairs. People do have misdealings. People do leave town on their own free will. Rarely do they do it without taking a single thing with them. And so, of course, that's the cause for concern for the people that know her best early on in the missing persons investigation. They all believe that something terrible had happened right then and there. None of them were convinced that she was missing. And then we learn 5 months later that she wasn't missing.
Yeah.
Somebody killed her and somebody placed her body in this area, not terribly far from the Cody store.
If Russ is being physically abusive, he's probably being mentally abusive. And so he's also seems to be controlling her. So he should know about if there's an affair happening, because he's controlling.
Exactly. Now, in Russ's defense, I couldn't find any report online or otherwise that states that there was any type of police report based off of that previous violence. This all seems to come from people that knew the two of them best.
But it only takes one, right? So it's like, So maybe she was beat up thousands of times and she never called the cops.
Or once or twice.
Right. But or none. That doesn't rule him out. Bastards like that are very capable of. If she came home and said, you know what, I'm just so tired of all this stuff. My mother's sick. She might be dying. I need to do something with my life. I need to change. I'm tired of this situation. I'm living in a basement. This is not the life that I wanted. If they got an argument and she said, you know what, I'm leaving, and he's this controlling, it just seems like there's a lot of signs pointing to, you know, the typical husband did it.
Well, and we cannot say the name of the person, but this is where it gets a little I feel like the picture gets a little clearer of what may have happened.
Yeah.
There was a friend, a close friend of Emma's, who was texting with her that night. After she got home, she's in her basement watching TV, and they are trading texts back and forth. There was a text from the friend that came in at approximately 15 minutes after midnight that Emma never responded to, that later, when her phone was looked at by family members, Emma had never opened up that text. Now, that does not mean that 100% of what I'm about to say is accurate, but it makes me
not.
It makes me think that very likely this is what happened.
Okay, lay it down.
Well, they're trading texts back and forth.
Mm-hmm.
Something happened before she opened and responded to that 12:15 text. That's where the timeline, I would be concerned with what's going on with Emma at that timeline.
Yeah, very good point, because she's talking with somebody back and forth, and she has this husband that is going, who are you talking to? Give me that phone. I want to see what's happening.
Her phone's found at her residence, along with all of her other belongings.
Mm-hmm.
And what I'm pointing out is this is one of those things, one of the rare occasions in these types of cases where we may have the exact marker, the exact minute marker of when all things stopped for Emma, right? Because we know that she, all of the activities she was supposed to be a part of on Sunday, she didn't go to the hospital. She was unheard of. She was unreachable. She doesn't show up to work on Monday. She doesn't show up to work on Tuesday. Well, you can backtrack that all the way to that 12:15, 15 minutes after midnight text that does not get responded to.
Well, and look, her family not reporting her missing till Tuesday. Okay, fine. But if you care about your wife, even if you're separated or you're kind of living this roommate lifestyle, you're calling the police right away. She got home from work, we know that much. She's missing the next morning, you're calling the police.
That didn't happen.
And so it seems like there's this text message conversation, maybe there's an argument happening at the same time. Like you said, it gives us almost to the minute of when this conversation took place. And where was she? At her house. Where's her phone? At her house. This is very similar to me, like the Chris Watts case, where he had her phone and had all her stuff. And it's just like, oh, well, she must have just went missing. Don't know where she's at.
Well, and I don't want to question or call to fault the Halifax County Sheriff's Office. But isn't it one of these cases, Captain? We've seen bigger mysteries in other murder cases, right?
We've probably seen
bigger mysteries. You have to sit here and wonder, okay, guys, what's the hang up here? What's the problem with the investigation?
Well, hold on. Here's what we do know, right? We can surmise this, right? We're not that dumb. I mean, we are two dumb guys in a garage, and we stand by that to the end of the time. To the end of our days. See? But we're not that dumb. We know that law enforcement at least has a short list of suspects, especially where the body was found, her items still being at home. And I think there's a lot more motive, too. Not just the separation, not just the rumors of possibly an affair, but also financial. If we get a divorce and we have all these properties, we have to split this up.
This also could be something that's not planned.
Good point.
Let's pretend for a moment that these previous acts of violence from her husband are, in fact, true. If they are true, this seems to me like somebody with a temper, with somebody that can fly off the handle. This is a guy that's been married and divorced before, his relationship with Emma. What I'm getting to here, Captain, is I wonder what the hangup is in this investigation. Now, we do have the sheriff's office on record early in the investigation, especially when she was still missing, saying, you know, Russell's been cooperative, and they even go as far to say that he's not a person of interest. Well,
wow.
We know that he was a truck driver. Is there a chance? I would love to know this information. I don't believe that this is true at all, but is there a chance that he was not home, or they have reason to believe that he was not at the residence at any time that night? Now, let's fast forward a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Keep in mind what the sheriff's office was saying. He's cooperative. He's not a person of interest. Well, that does change.
That blows my mind.
At some point, it's stated that Russell is no longer cooperating with the investigation, that he lawyered up, which is his right, and I recommend everybody does have an attorney. However, he stops communicating and stops cooperating with the investigation. There are some reports out there that state that he failed a polygraph test, and that's when, boom, communication and cooperation ended.
Yeah, shame, shame, know your name.
Nope. I want to point out that those are reports. Mm-hmm. I've not seen 100% stone cold evidence of the fact that he failed a polygraph test.
Well, let's just assume I'm the detective, right? Let's hypothetically, I'm the detective. I go, I'm giving statements. If I'm a detective, I start talking like this, right? I'm giving statements to the public, and I'm saying, this guy, Russ, man, he's a stand-up guy. It's her husband. They own a bunch of property together. He's been cooperative. Seems to have an alibi of some kind. He's not a person of interest at this time. No, he's not. He's been cooperative. You're going to say that anyways, even if he's being a little bit of a scumbag, because you want him to soften up, right? You don't want him to be guarded with everything he's saying. But also, when you talk about that she's found in a shallow grave, there's a lot of individuals, a lot of victims that we've talked about where they're just dumped on the side of the road. This is somebody that put her in an area and tried to conceal her so she wasn't found. Maybe I can get behind the idea that maybe this wasn't planned out, but the disposal of the body definitely was, to some degree. And
I think to a big time degree. There was evidence that someone had tried to burn the body.
Right.
There was a sleeping bag that was recovered from the scene. There was an attempt to bury the body. Yeah, that was what, I don't know if it was well thought out or not, but somebody went to a great deal of effort to try to conceal the body. And the other thing, too, there's no reason at all for anyone to believe that she was killed where she was found. So she was moved and transported as well. Now, here's the problem. This is where I'm going to go, okay, I understand that there are complications. Every murder investigation is complicated for any number of different reasons, but I'm sitting here 5 years after the fact, 4.5 years after her body's found, and I'm going, what is wrong with this case? What is wrong with your suspect? What is wrong with the investigation? Why haven't we charged anybody in this case? And here's where my mind goes, and these are things that I hope and pray that the sheriff's office has already done. The cell phone. We know that she was actively using the cell phone, and I believe right up into the point where something happened to her, or she was abducted or attacked and killed. Subpoena those cell phone records if you could. Could you find out where that phone was located? We know it was later found at her home in the basement where anybody would expect to find it.
Right.
Subpoena those phone records. Let's find out where that phone was during the course of that text activity. Let's subpoena somebody else's cell phone records and see who was in that same area at the same time. We know that she shared the home with another person. There's reason to believe his phone may indicate that he was home at the same time that that text exchange ended. Here's some other things that I would be doing. I think that in this case, in this murder investigation, that the sheriff's office actually has a very powerful weapon in their arsenal. And that would be their missing persons investigation. I would be using the information that they gained and learned during the course of their missing persons investigation to drive and spearhead my murder investigation. And what I mean by that is every person that told me that Emma left town, I want to know, why did you think that she left town? Who told you that? Yeah. Is that something you came up with on your own? Because we know that her body was found in town. So she didn't leave town. We know that. So why would anybody be telling law enforcement that she did leave town? If you told me that, you're a suspect. If you told me that, you better tell me who gave you that information, because then they are my suspect. And the other thing that I think happened here too, Captain, I think that there's plenty of reason to believe that whoever transported the body had help. Yeah. I almost feel like the finding of the sleeping bag screams to me at least two people moving the body.
Yeah, no, I was actually going to bring that up as a question to you earlier. Was, doesn't this seem like, because one thing was tried, then another thing was tried, and then the distance that she would have been found in this property kind of leans more towards two people than one. So I'm glad that you brought that up. But I know that they said he was being cooperative, and I know that they said the husband was being cooperative, and maybe there was some alibi that didn't check out, and that's why he lawyered up and he stopped being cooperative. But once he lawyered up and stop being cooperative, it's one thing if you want to lawyer up and have the questions go through your lawyer and you answer what you can and you protect your client. That's fine. But my list of suspects would be a list of one.
My list of suspects would be rather short, because I want to know, again, we're both sitting here believing that two people at minimum transported the body.
Well, and that's more likely the person that will come forward is, look, I was told this story that she was cheating on him, or that she was stealing money from him or whatever, and it was an accidental death, and so I helped move the body. But that person is more likely to come forward. Come forward.
We all sit here, too, believing that more than one person likely told law enforcement that Emma had left the area of her own free will. Again, those are the tools that the phone activity, the phone activity of others inside that residence or on that property at that same time, 15 minutes after midnight on the night that she, air quotes, went missing. I'm looking at that. I'm looking at the people that told me that she left town of her own free will. And I'm also looking for the point of origin of that sleeping bag. Because guess what? If I can figure out and prove and have reason to believe that person A owns that sleeping bag or owned that sleeping bag at one point, and he was one of the people that told me that he was with a certain person on that night, and that is that person's alibi, well, guess what? That alibi don't mean jack shit anymore, because we have your sleeping bag found at our crime scene.
Well, no, and I think one of the things that they could possibly do is, you know, obviously test the sleeping bag for DNA, but I would also test it for fibers, like carpet fibers, because that could have been a sleeping bag in her house that they used, just like when Chris Watts went to transport his wife, didn't he use the bed sheets? So I just feel like it's so similar. And we don't always agree, mainly because you're normally right and I'm wrong. But I think in this case, we at least agree that the suspect list is very small.
It's very small. And again, anyone that told law enforcement that Emma left town for any number of reasons, they should be people that you really want to question and you want to get to the truth, because they obviously told you a lie at some point. And anybody willing to lie is somebody that is either directly involved or is helping to cover up what actually happened. So those nasty rumors about an affair or drug dealing or being involved with drugs, boom, none of them are true. Somebody murdered this woman and didn't take her body very far from where she was killed. Emma Compton Lane was last seen alive on June 17, 2017 in Cody, Virginia. On November 22, 2017, her remains were found by a hunter in the woods near her home on Sandy Ridge Road. She was buried in a shallow grave. The person responsible or persons responsible for her murder have never been identified. If you have any information regarding the murder of Emma Compton Lane or recall seeing any suspicious vehicles along Sandy Ridge Road between June and November of 2017, please contact the Halifax County Sheriff's Office at 434-476-3334.
Thank you so much for joining us here in the garage and letting us be a part of your week. We appreciate it. Make sure you go to truecrimegarage.com and sign up on our mailing list so you're in the know for everything True Crime Garage. Colonel?
Until next time, be good, be kind, and don't litter.